to Sound Prints Audio Magazine, a production of the Kentucky Council of the Blind. Sound Prints is underwritten by the American Printing House for the Blind and the Louisville Downtown Lions Club. I'm Carla Rushival. I'm your host for this week's magazine. Welcome to Sound Prints for the week of April 7, 2024. Braille on Demand is a service available from your Talking Book Library. You can request a hard copy of any Braille book that is available from Bard to be sent to you, and you can keep that book indefinitely. You might want a cookbook, a craft book, or book of knitting and crochet patterns, a favorite novel or book of poetry, a biography, or a children's book. And you can request up to 5 books each month. What a great way to grow your special library. For more information, contact your NLS Talking Book Library. In Kentucky, the number is 800-372-2968. The American Council of the Blind will hold its 2024 National Convention in Jacksonville, Florida, from July 5 to July 12. The Blinded Veterans Association will hold its convention at the same time in Jacksonville in conjunction with ACB. ACB's Virtual Convention Week will happen from June 24 through June 29. It's time to start making plans to participate in the convention, whether on Zoom or ACB Media, in person, or both. KCB encourages all of its members to attend the convention and take advantage of all of the information and training that is available. For more information about the Jacksonville Convention and how KCB can help you attend, call the KCB office at 502-895-4598. The Council of Citizens with Low Vision celebrated its 45th birthday on Friday, April 5. It held a fundraising auction on Zoom and ACB Media. The auction was a resounding success. They raised over $6,000 in an evening of bidding and buying. The South Central Kentucky Council of the Blind invites everyone to its weekly Wednesday afternoon social hour from 2 to 3 p.m. Central, 3 to 4 p.m. Eastern on its Zoom line. The number is 669-900-6833, and their code is 763-689-4411. Be sure to follow the code with a pound. Remember that everyone is welcome to attend, whether you live in the Bowling Green area or somewhere else. The next Focus on Your Future with Low Vision will be on Saturday, April 27, from 10 to 12:30 p.m. It is in person at United Crescent Hill Ministries, 150 South State Street in Louisville. It is a great activity for people who are just losing their vision and for people who want to share ideas for living with low vision. There will be a light breakfast, discussion time, a chance to share information, and demo products that are useful or maybe not so useful, and an opportunity to meet others who are experiencing the low vision journey. Doors will open at 9:15 a.m. If using TARC 3, be sure to make your return rides no later than 12:45. The building will close around 1 p.m. The April 12 roundabout will include page turners and technology. This is your chance to share good books that you've read, authors you like or don't like, tips for using Bard and Bookshare and Kindle, and other sources of reading. In the second hour, we'll share tips about technology, whether it be phone apps, Alexa skills, computer websites, new products, etc. The Zoom number is 669-900-6833, and the code is 862-9889-6972. The Kentucky Council of Citizens with Low Vision will hold a Low Vision meeting on Wednesday, April 17, at 8 p.m. on the KCB Zoom line, from any computer, cell phone, or landline phone, and from anywhere in Kentucky or around the country. Just dial your Zoom access number, 669-900-6833, and enter the ID 862-9889-6972. The Greater Louisville Council of Blind will hold its quarterly meeting, including elections for directors, on Friday, April 19. This is a hybrid event, and dinner will begin at 5 p.m. at United Crescent Hill Ministries, 150 South State Street in Louisville. Dinner is $6 per person, and you can order carryouts in advance. The meeting will be both in person and on Zoom from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. We remind you to be sure that your GLCB dues are paid for 2024 if you wish to vote at the meeting. For more information and to sign up for dinner, call the Kentucky Council of the Blind at 502-895-4598 by Wednesday, April 17. The Eastern Kentucky Council of the Blind plans to meet in person on Saturday, April 20, at the Breathitt County Library in Jackson, Kentucky. This meeting is in person only. To find out more about EKCB and the meeting, call Ronnie Patrick, President, at 606-671-0262. Call Ronnie Patrick, President, at 606-671-0226. Tri-State Library Users is a chapter of both the Library Users of America and the Kentucky Council of the Blind. Its next meeting is Saturday, April 20 at 11 a.m. on the KCB Zoom line. All are welcome. We'll be playing bingo with the Perkins Bingo Group on Friday, April 26. We'll be announcing the Zoom call-in number here on SoundPrints and on the KCB events list. The Greater Louisville Council of the Blind auction will be on Saturday, May 11, on the KCB Zoom line. Proceeds help support roundabout and other activities during the year. Call us at 502-895-4598 by Monday, April 29, to donate auction items and send auction items to us at 148 Vernon Avenue, Louisville, Kentucky, 40206. Auction items must be in new or like-new condition. Dave Wilkinson from SpeedyTurtle.net was our speaker at the roundabout. Dave is a blind person who has been well-known in the technology world for a long time, but he has also participated in several Ironman competitions, which are events that includes swimming, bicycling, and running. This year, he is competing in Race Across America, which is a 3,000-plus-mile bicycle ride that requires months of planning, hard work, and training, and must be completed in 11 days. Hear all about what is involved on page 2. Here are some ways you can listen to SoundPrints. We are heard 12 times each week on ACB Media. By using the AC Link app on your iPhone or on your Alexa device, you can ask her to open ACB Media and then choose number 1 when prompted. We are heard at 8 p.m. Sunday, 8 a.m. Monday, 6 a.m. and 6 p.m. Tuesday, 4 a.m. and 4 p.m. Wednesday, 10 p.m. Thursday, and 1 a.m., 10 a.m., and 1 p.m. on Fridays. Find SoundPrints in the list of podcasts in the ACB Link app on your iPhone. Just open ACB Link, choose Podcasts from the menu, and scroll down the list to find SoundPrints. Listen anytime, 24 hours a day, on the KCB information line, just call 773-572-6318. Be sure to check the opening menu for available shows, as we sometimes post shows from past weeks. For more information, to comment on a recent show, or make a suggestion for a future topic, and to request a free subscription on CD, playable on any standard CD player, call the Kentucky Council of the Blind at 502-895-4598. Page 2. Dave, are you here?
I am.
All right. Our speaker this evening is Dave Wilkinson, and he's done some very interesting things when it comes to exercises and, honestly, sometimes, Dave, wild and crazy stuff. That, you know, I talked to somebody the other day. Dave's email has been, in the past, Speedy Turtle. It's kind of been, when I think of Dave, I think of that email as Speedy Turtle. If you all remember, a few years ago, Dave did some really great presentations about doing Ironman. And so Dave is one of those people that can talk about just about anything and make it interesting. So Dave, I'm going to give you this mic.
Good evening. I'm Dave Wilkinson. I would like to also introduce my wife, who is sitting in front of me to my right. Yell hello, Dawn.
Hi.
Yay. She's my sweetheart, my number one cheerleader, and she probably got more than she bargained for out of this whole pit. Many of you all know me. I've been around the Louisville area for a while. I worked for different assistive tech companies for a while, and I'm now doing digital accessibility work for Hilton. So I get to, the funny thing about that is I work for an organization that, you know, is hotels, and I get to stay home. So that makes me pretty happy, actually. But I really appreciate the opportunity to be here this evening. Way back a long time ago, I was actually just doing the math in my head, 39 years ago, I got a scholarship as a new graduate from high school from ACB right before my first year of college. And so I've always had a special place in my heart for ACB. They were extraordinarily good to me then. And so keep up the good work and keep doing what you're doing. It makes a difference to a lot of folks. And I really appreciate the opportunity this evening to get to tell you a little bit about some of the madness that is my life and some of the things that are coming up in the immediate future. And I'm doing things a little bit differently this evening. I've been getting too scripted, and so this evening I'm going to go totally unscripted. And so this is either going to go really well, or you're going to pretend that I was never here. So if anyone's left at the end of this, we can count it as a success. But as Carla mentioned, I am in the final months. I'm 102 days away from finishing an 18-month training cycle to do a race called Race Across America. This is a 3,000-mile bike race. I'll be doing this with my tandem pilot, or we wouldn't make it 3,000 inches. So I have a fabulous tandem captain, a gentleman named Jim Trout, and we'll talk about Jim in a little bit. And he's done this race 3 times before, so I know it can be done. But I have never done anything close to this before, which is part of what really appealed to me about it. I'm really drawn to things that seem patently absurd or impossible. And the bigger and goofier they seem, the more I'm attracted to them. So this fit right in. And when I was training for an Ironman a couple of years ago, I was swimming with a local triathlon legend, and I'm not a good swimmer, so she was going very slowly. And we finished, and almost as an afterthought, she was like, "Have you ever considered Race Across America?" And I'd never heard of it. And when she mentioned how painful and horrible it was, I asked for more details, and it stuck in my head. And I thought, this is something I got to do one day. This sounds ghastly. So it stuck in my head for a while, and after doing a few Ironman competitions, it seemed the appropriate time to move on and try to do something else. And so at that point, I started putting together the logistics of doing this race. And I want to talk a little bit about what some of those logistics are so that you can understand a number of things. One, so that you won't try this at home. Two, so that you can understand what an amazing, unbelievable crew and team of support people I have behind me. And then three, to give you some insight into exactly what we're going to be doing out there and how this race is going to go. Before we get started with any of that, all of you can do me a huge favor. If you have not subscribed to my Facebook page, Speedy Turtle Races Across America, I would greatly appreciate it if you did. Numbers help me get sponsors. Sponsors help me pay bills. You can look us up on Facebook. Again, it's Speedy Turtle Races Across America. If you don't remember that, shoot me an email at dave@speedyturtle.net, and I will be happy to direct you accordingly. We'll get into all the exciting merchandise we have available later on. We'll skip that for the end when you're just chomping for more. So back to the whole idea of sort of what's behind this. My tandem pilot and I are going to bicycle 3,061 miles in 12 days or under. You have a maximum of 12 days to finish this thing or it doesn't count. To give you some statistics about this race, fewer people have completed Race Across America than have climbed Mount Everest. We will be doing, in those 12 days, we're going across, I forget if it's 12 or 13 states, we will be doing 31 miles of climbing at different points. We will go through the Rockies, and we will go through the Appalachians. We will be cycling somewhere in the neighborhood of 280 to 290 miles per day on average. This is going to take a while, which means that we will be sleeping 3, maybe 4 hours a night. And the people that are going to be supporting us is a crew of eight. We have, first we have my wife, my number one cheerleader. Jim's wife is also going to be part of it. We have a bike engineer, a fabulous lady named Erica Oliver, who's been a dear friend of mine for years. We have a nurse, so that we will be having our vitals monitored and make sure that we're in decent health. My younger sister, Sarah, is going to be our crew chief. When I do PowerPoints with this, at this point, I show this really cute picture of me riding my sister Sarah on a tricycle, and she has no idea of the danger that she's in because she's only like about 2 years old. She hasn't realized yet that her brother who's steering this thing is blind. And then we have several other folks who are there to literally just run errands, to feed us, to keep our nutrition up and going, and to fix anything that goes wrong along the way. And there are going to be things that go wrong. We will have an RV that will be traveling up ahead of us, and we will have a van that will be following us. The van will then jump in front of us, and we'll catch up to the van. It'll jump ahead a couple of miles. Then you ride up, you pass your van. It waits so you're a couple miles ahead. Then it jumps up ahead of you again. And that's so that they know that if anything happens, they can narrow it down to a couple-mile radius of anything happening. So it's purely a safety measure. There are, I forget how many solo people doing this race this year. It's 20-some-odd soloists doing this race. Most people doing this race are doing it as a team, and that means that they don't have to do the whole thing. They do part of it, a team member does part of it, then they do some more. That means they're going to be getting full night's sleep and having a much more comfortable experience, so that wasn't appealing at all. In 2018, four tandem a group of four blind tandem cyclists and their pilots did this as a team and finished in just a little bit over 8 days, because obviously when you're a team you can do this faster because you're always a little bit fresher. No blind tandem cyclist has ever completed this race as a solo project. So when my pilot Jim and I cross the finish line, we will become the first. Jim and I will also be aggregate the oldest tandem crew to finish race across America at just under 55 years. I'm not sure how I feel about that, but there's not really anything I can do about it. So we better do it now before we get even older. The rules for this thing are a million miles long. There are all kinds of rules and regulations and signage changes from state to state. And that's why I have a crew chief who's in charge of all that. Once we start pedaling, Jim and I will completely hand our lives over to our crew. And most decisions will be out of our hands at that point. And one of the first things that you do when you decide to do something like this is you appoint someone who can make decisions that you may not like, such as if you get to continue the race or if you become a danger to yourself, to force you to quit. And my younger sister Sarah will be doing that. She and Dawn will make decisions that I will have no veto power over, because I will be delusional. And so if it is decided at some point that I am a danger to myself and that I have to quit, I do not get to veto that decision. I will be mad for a long time. But I point this out because this is some of the things that the crew has to deal with. Obviously, we think we're going to succeed or we wouldn't be doing this. We will be using a lot of technology in this. We use smart helmets. You can get smart everything, right? And these helmets are pretty amazing. They have radio transmitters in them, and they communicate with each other, and they also communicate with the crew when the crew is within about a quarter of a mile. And the reason you have to do this is that you don't necessarily have cell service the whole time, and so you want to have something that is guaranteed to work. The helmets last for 8 to 9 hours on a charge, so you've got to have more than one helmet. You swap them out, get a new one, keep going. The crew has little headsets there in the van, and they can talk to you. And what they're wanting to know when they're talking to you is what we want at the next stop. So, you know, do we need more nutrition? Do we want snacks? Do we need more water, ice, you name it. And when they hand us this stuff, 9 times out of 10, we're still going to be moving. We're not going to slow down. This is a race, right? So we have been working on schemes, because when visual people, they reach their hand out and they slap a water bottle in their hand and they do this sightling thing where they just magically, materials just transfer from one hand to the other. Well, that's not going to work for me. And I don't want my tandem pilot to have to do this, because I'd really rather he keep his eyes on the road. And he's got enough to worry about. So we've been working out schemes by which I will get his food and mine in a cloth bag, and as we're pedaling, I'll sort through, hand his stuff up to him on the bike, take empties, put them into the bag, drop the bag by the side of the road. The crew will pick it up as they're passing us to go back in front of us, and they'll fill things up and we'll do it again. So it's going to be an amazing logistical feat to pull this off. And I'm sure that there will be times that we won't, which is why we have backup bottles and backup bags. And at any given time, they will probably have 2 bags ready to go, so that if they miss handing me one of them, someone can hand me the second one. Some of the other logistics that are involved in this, you've got 8 crew members. And so you've got to get them all to the starting line, and then you've got to get them home from the finish line. When we're going across country, you've got to have people who are going to be driving. You've got to coordinate so that the crew has some time for sleep, either in the RV. We're also getting hotels for crew members along the way. so that at least a couple of nights when we're traveling, they can get, or days, depending on when we go through, you know, various towns, but they'll have 8 or 9 hours where they can just be away off the road and then catch back up. Thank you, Hilton, for those. Jim and I will never see those hotels. We will be sleeping in a van, our follow van, when it pulls over to the side of the road when we have finally given out for the day. My friend Erica is working on this weird portable shower thing so that we can dump water over ourselves and then flop down on a little pallet, get 3 or 4 hours of sleep, and get up and do it again. And that will be our life for under 12 days. We're hoping for a little bit under 11 days, like 10 and a half, somewhere in there. But who knows? We did a race back in September to qualify for this. That was the Natchez Trace. It was a 444-mile race. You had to finish in 44 hours. We finished it in just over 31 hours. Trivia time. Anyone want to guess how many calories I burned on that race? It was a lot. That's true. Anyone want to take a wild guess? I'll give you a hint that isn't really a hint. I was astounded.
17,000.
You were dead on.
What was it?
17,000 calories. Slightly over that. But isn't that crazy? And so what you're doing, and the reason I point this out is you're just steadily, you're a human furnace. You're consuming calories and you continue just to dump stuff in and you burn it up as soon as it hits your body. So, and this is part of why we have a nurse on board. It is very possible that at some point we will have IVs and we'll have electrolytes pumped into us to make sure that we don't get dehydrated. We're going to be going through the desert. As soon as we leave Oceanside, California, we go through the desert in California and Arizona. And so I've been getting things like an ice shaving machine so that we can, you know, if we stop, we can like slam a snow cone really quick to get cool again. So it's just kind of wild, the logistics that go into this stuff. I could keep going with some of the logistics stuff, but I'll tell you a couple more logistic things that I think are kind of fascinating. One, we have 3 bikes with us because one's not enough. The bike engineer, Erica, will always make sure that we have a backup bike that is ready to go. And if anything happens, which it will, we'll blow tires, we'll break spokes, might break chains. Who knows? Whatever bike we're riding will just get replaced with a fresh bike, and then she'll take over fixing the bike that we just broke so that it's ready to go. And if the second one goes, then we have a third, so that we've got redundancies built in. The other reason we have 3 bikes is that you want different bikes for different landscape, and we have one of the bikes that we're carrying is an older tandem. It's heavy. You wouldn't necessarily want to ride across country on it, but it's got really, really strong brakes and is easy to control going downhill, and we're going to be going down some big ones. So there will be times when we're coming up on specific geography that we will ride a bike to match the geography that we're going over. And this is decisions that my tandem pilot, Jim, will make, that Erica will make, and that the crew will make as far as just what bike we're riding. The relationship that you develop between your crew, but in particular, and most, I guess, most importantly, the pilot, is something that I can't overstress. I've done a lot of endurance sports over the years, and I've done stuff that wasn't necessarily endurance sports but still needed guides. I've done lots of marathons, cross-country ski races, and then I've done triathlons, including half Ironmans and Ironmans and all this kind of stuff. And you develop an unbelievably close relationship with your guide because you were literally trusting them with your life. That being said, Jim and I didn't know each other when I started this process. I was supposed to ride with a different guide who had bowed out about a year ago because of some other family stuff that came up. And so I was in this bizarre position of training for a race and not knowing if I was going to have a tandem pilot to do it. And so when I was trying to find a pilot, I did what everyone does in this day and age. Anyone want to guess? Very close. That's close enough. I went to the internet and I found a couple of racing forums for Race Across America. And so I just kind of threw myself out there and I'm like, hey, I'm this blind dude who really wants to do Race Across America. Here's my athletic pedigree. Here's why I think I can do it. No other blind person has done it as a solo project. Wouldn't this be fun? And I got answers. More than one. And I was kidding Jim. I told him we should have our own sort of social media platform called Instagram for this thing. but it worked. And Jim and I decided to do this before we had ever actually met each other. We met several times via Zoom. And you know when you've got a good guide. It just kind of clicks. And you just felt that sort of snap of a connection. And you're like, I really want to get to know this guy. And so we had agreed to do this before we'd ever met each other. Our families met last year, sometime like April or May, when his family was coming back from Florida. Jim lives in Grand Rapids, Michigan. So it's not like we get to ride together a whole lot. And we did some long rides together last May, and then we didn't ride together again until we did the 444-mile ride back in September. So there's a lot of trust that we both have in each other to do this. The way that I've been training for this, I have some tandem cyclists that I ride with here, but 90% of my training is done in my basement. I use a street bike, just a regular bicycle, and the back tire has been replaced with something called a Wahoo kicker. And what that translates into in regular English is it is a bike computer that I can upload workouts into, and then that bike computer controls the resistance of my bike and keeps track of how well I do the workout. And so every day when I wake up, I look in my inbox and I have a coach, a guy named Mike Hermanson, who did my first Ironman with me. And we keep coming back to Ironman. For those of you who aren't familiar with what they are, it's a 2.4-mile swim, 112-mile bike ride, and then you finish with a full marathon, which is 26.2 miles, and you have to do it all in 17 hours. My best one I did in a little over 13. So you want to leave some time so that if you completely fall apart at the end. And that's where Speedy Turtle comes from. When you're getting near the end of these things, you're creeping along, but you're speedy for a turtle. So that's sort of where that, and it would be fair to say that I'm not necessarily good at any of these things that I do. I last a long time, and I just keep plugging away at it, and I'm stubborn, and I'm bullheaded, and I don't like to quit. And that's probably the best thing that I have going for me in all of this stuff. But when I wake up in the morning, my inbox has met my workout for the day that Mike Hermanson, who is a sadist, puts together for me. I think part of Mike just enjoys getting paid to make people suffer, and he's really good at it. And I say that with the utmost love and respect for Mike. He's done a fabulous job coaching me over the years, but his workouts are pretty nasty. And that workout gets sent to my bike computer. The bike computer controls the resistance of the bike, makes me pedal really hard. Then during the easy times, it lightens up. And then as soon as the workout is over, he gets a spreadsheet sent back to him that shows how fast I was pedaling, if I had to stop, all this kind of stuff. And he can evaluate how well I did, and then he can make things harder. Not like he's ever called and been like, oh, I've been too hard on you, let's make things easier. It kind of goes the other way around where it's like, oh, now let's see what we can make him do. And when I was doing triathlons, I did the same thing. I would see, how much I needed to bike, swim, or run, and Mike would always have something in my inbox for me. So I ride a long time in my basement. I've had training rides that were over 8 hours where you're cycling in place in my basement, just pedaling to nowhere, which is really boring. I download podcasts. I listen to NPR, I listen to the voices in my head, I tell the voices in my head to be quiet, and I go back to NPR. I watch any kind of sports. I like sports because sometimes they're suffering more than I am, and so it makes me happy. Particularly football, it's really good. They're hitting each other, and all I'm doing is riding a bicycle, so I figure they're in much worse shape than I am. And like baseball season's coming up, and I love baseball because you lose track of time. But I will have cycling rides that are well over 8 hours coming up before I do this that are just in my basement. It's a scary thing. If you come to my house, some of the different equipment I have, I can run, bike, ski, and soon swim in place, so that I don't have to go anywhere to do any of this stuff. And when I do any of this stuff, I really don't go anywhere. But that's sort of how the training with this works. I do have some cyclists lined up for the spring that will be riding with me outdoors. In general, and this is the opposite of running, the trainer is usually harder than outdoors. And the reason the trainer is harder than outdoors is on the trainer, the bike in my basement, you never get to stop. Whereas outdoors, you get little brakes built in when you go downhill because you get to stop pedaling. And I never get to stop pedaling. So a lot of the time what happens is I end up going outside and we'll go for like a 100-mile ride. And I'm like, oh, that's going to be awful. And I'm like, oh, that was so easy. And they're huffing and puffing, and then I feel really good. I will finish up this part of it with a couple of different things. I do have some other stuff coming up this summer. 6 weeks after I get back from Race Across America, the Ironman is returning to Louisville, but they're doing a half, so I'm going to be doing a half Ironman in Louisville later on this summer. And so I get 6 weeks to sort of get my world back together. I haven't run in over a year. I haven't done any swimming or much swimming in over a year. So when I get back from Race Across America, I've got to get into decent shape for these other sports as far as the triathlon goes to be able to pull it off. I do want to mention some of my sponsors, and then we're going to get into some of the merchandise stuff. I do have a number of very good sponsors, including the folks from Envision who make the Envision glasses. And I do have a set of Envision glasses here this evening if anyone wants to see those and see what they do. They're smart glasses that are specifically geared towards people who are blind or visually impaired. And I'll be happy to show them off. They're really way cool. They can give you descriptions of scenery. You can help have them identify faces. They're using ChatGPT to be able to answer questions. Like I can read a piece of mail and ask it, how much do I owe? And it goes and runs and tells me what the total of my bill is, this type of stuff. They're really pretty awesome. Other sponsors include the aforementioned Hilton, who is giving my crew hotel rooms so that they can sleep while we don't. I'm deeply indebted to Hilton. They've been extraordinarily supportive of this whole endeavor and have been very willing to work with me as this goes on. Nanopack, which is a company that I've done some work for, is a sponsor, along with a company called Love Your Calendar. It's loveyourcalendar.com. They have really cool large print calendars. And last but not least, Infinite Nutrition. And I hope folks from Infinite Nutrition are not listening. I love the company. I am so freaking tired of this fruit punch flavored gunk that I've been drinking for years and years and years, but I couldn't do it without them. You can get customized flavors, and now that they're sponsoring me, I have a chance to get some of those without paying the prices that they were going to charge me before, so I'll finally get something other than the gunk that I've been drinking for years and years. But they're a fabulous group. They're organic. They're a fantastic energy drink, and you'll like the fruit punch for the first 3 or 4 years that you drink it. I think I'm on year number 5. So those are a number of my sponsors. That being said, we are still fundraising. My ears perked up when you were talking about fundraising a while ago. This whole thing is going to cost between $30,000 and $35,000 to do. Which is actually on the low end. You'll have people that are spending in six figures to do this. We're doing this on the cheap, which is a really scary thought. We do have, my argument has been that we have, our logistics are no more complicated than Taylor Swift, except that we're skipping all the stardom and adulation and all that kind of stuff. But I do have merchandise, and I have Speedy Turtle Races Across America t-shirts with me. They're available on my website for $35. If you get them from me separately from the website, I can knock $5 off of that because I don't have to pay PayPal fees, so they're $30. I have hats for $25, and those aren't on the website because I've been too lazy to put them there. And if anyone's out there, we still have sponsorship opportunities available. So we'd be happy to hear from you. I will. My website is speedyturtle.net. Please do join my Facebook group. Numbers really do help. Also, with the Facebook group, we are going to be doing some live streaming this summer. As we're racing across America, we're going to be using the Envision glasses to do some streaming onto Facebook so that visual people will get the same view that I have, which will be the back of my pilot's head, so I'll have to remember to look to the left or the right so they can actually see something. Wouldn't that be boring? But we are going to do some constant updates. We have people who are much more adept at social media, which is the entire universe, who will be doing our live feeds and keeping people up to date. I'd also toss out there that I'm happy to come speak to any organization that's within reasonable travel distance. I love talking about this stuff. I can talk about it forever. It is not too much to say that this is a second job. When I finish work, I ride. When I finish riding, I sleep. When I get up, I work, and then it starts all over again. I've mentioned it before, but Dawn has been exceptionally patient and understanding of why I need to do this, or maybe not understanding why I need to do this, but accepting the fact that I need to do this. And
the meeting
left. She brings me Gatorade, water, snacks, support on long rides. When things don't go well, she's there to let me know that tomorrow's another day. And it's truly an example of just someone being in it totally and completely, and I couldn't do it without her. With that, at this point, I'm happy to open it up for questions, and we can make this go in any direction that you want it to go.
Where will you end up at?
That's a really good question. I didn't ever talk about where we ended up. We end up in Atlantic City, New Jersey. So we'll start in Oceanside, California. We go through California, Arizona, New Mexico, Colorado, Kansas, Missouri, Indiana, Virginia, West Virginia, Maryland, somewhere I can't remember, and New Jersey. So it's going to be it will be quite a trek as we're going across the country. The finish line in the past few years has been in Annapolis, Maryland, but they moved it this year because of construction, and so the course, once we cross the Mississippi River, will be slightly different towards the end than in previous years. Thank you. I always forget really obvious stuff. I've done presentations and forgot to tell people who I was. It's pretty sad.
So, Dave, are you not working on it at this time, right? I mean, you're training, but when do you begin and when do you end, or do you know at this point?
I really do forget the obvious stuff. We start June the 11th. Dawn and I will leave for Oceanside, California, 98 days from today, which is June the 7th. We will spend the next few days getting everything ready to go with our follow vehicle and our RV. My friend Erica is actually going to drive our follow vehicle from here out to California because she wants to make sure that she gets the exact van that she wants when we pick it up from the rental people. And God help them if they try to give her anything else. She's been building customized bicycle racks for the specific models of vans that she's been promised. And so we will all meet up on June the 7th, and then we will finish before the end of the day on June the 23rd. So my apologies for leaf. That's part of what is so, and as this gets closer, I was asked the other day what you think about at 4 o'clock in the morning. And at this point, at 4 o'clock in the morning, my head just hums. There's so much going on as far as have we gotten, and some of it's little stuff like getting the crew matching shirts for when we're going through this so that we look like we're a team, making sure that my pilot and I have enough cycling jerseys so that we can wear a clean, you know, clean jerseys that have Speedy Turtle on them every day. Some of the time when people go to hotels, when they get to the cushy hotels, those hotels have laundry machines, and they're going to get some really stinky laundry thrown in them while my crew is at hotels. again, it's just all kinds of coordination on making sure, you know, when the laundry comes back, that it goes into Jim's pile, Dave's pile, and so that when I need another pair of cycling shorts, because mine are just too gross and sweaty to even look at anymore, somebody knows what type of cycling shorts I want. I have different types of shorts because, frankly, when you're riding this long, your butt starts to get really, really sore. And so you want different shorts and different seats to put pressure on different parts of your butt so that you can still stand up and sit down as you're going along with this. And so you're planning this out to just the most minute detail, and then something's going to go insanely wrong, and a lot of our planning will go out the window, but we just don't know what part. So you plan for all of it.
I just can't imagine how much coordination you need from one stop to the next. When you know that you're getting to, you know, you're going along and you know what city you're going to be getting to next, do you do anything to kind of let them know you're coming to other people that are participating in this activity? Do they do some of that, like some of the publicity that might be that you might do along the way? Is there a way that works?
That is an extremely good question. And the answer is yes. The people at Race Across America know where we are at all times. I'm wearing a GPS monitor, kind of like an ankle monitor, except that I'm paying for the experience. They know where we are at all times. We have time stations that we go through where we check in with the race organizers. Our crew is constantly letting them know where we are, approximately when we will get to the next time station. I forget how many time stations there are along this thing. They check in with us at like 60 or 70 different locations along the way so that they always know within a mile of where we are. The organizers of this have an incredible job on their hands because they're actually doing three races at once. You have Race Across America, which is me. You have Race Across the West, which starts at the same time as Race Across America, but is only a third of the distance, and so it ends in Durango, Colorado. And then you have Race Across the East. So as Race Across America makes its way across the country, some folks will be starting towards the eastern U.S. and heading towards the finish line. So they're actually coordinating three different races at one time. They've been fantastic about making sure that they have information that they need so that they can let, you know, media outlets know who may be interested. I think it'll be really interesting television to see if we know our name. Once we get a couple thousand miles into this thing. But there is and the crew chief will be, you know, all of this is going to come back onto her shoulders and making sure that all of these details are taken care of. Dawn is pointing out the amount of paperwork, which is insane.
Yeah.
It's a stack. And then there are little things that happen, like when you cross state lines, some states want you meaning the follow van, to have a sign saying that you're following a bicycle. Other states will ticket you if you have a sign that says that you're following a bicycle. Whoa. So when you, yeah, it's insane. So as soon as you hit the, So as soon as you hit state line, the state line, you've got to figure out when you're crossing over what the new rules and regulations are. So if we're going to be in 12 different states, that's 12 different sets of rules that we get to follow. But I don't have to worry about any of this. All I have to do is pedal. This is when I say, thank you, Sarah.
And stay away.
Yes.
You do have two hands on Zoom.
Awesome. Go for it, on Zoom.
Debbie Green, you can go ahead.
Yes. Thank you for your inspiration. That's fabulous. How close do you come to Louisville, Kentucky?
That is an awesome question, and the answer is pretty close, but not quite close enough, which is probably good because then I would just go home. We go right outside of Indianapolis. So if anyone wants to get together, I do have a couple of friends in Indianapolis who are going to be coming out to watch us as we go through Indianapolis. That's okay. As close as we get to Louisville, so we'll be a couple hours away.
Okay.
Which is too close to go home.
Yeah, good. That's wonderful. Great job.
And again, just to bring it back, to bring it again, if you follow us on Facebook, we will have live updates on where we are, how we're doing, if we're coherent. They might skip that part. It might just be take it as a given. But we will have constant updates on the feeds so that you know where we are.
All right. Terry, you can go ahead.
Thank you. How do you guys handle needs to use restrooms?
They're guys.
That's a really good question. There are a couple of different answers to that, one of them being woods. All of this has, and this is part of what makes doing this as a tandem bike so tough. If one of you has to go, then you're both stopping. This will degenerate quickly into more information than you asked for. So just remember that you asked for it. endurance athletes have been known in the past to pee on themselves. Told you it was going to go downhill fast. I will admit that I have done that once just so I can say that I have done it during a race. It's stinky and I don't want to do it again. We will have our crew who will be on the lookout for cities and gas stations and bathrooms. It will not be, when we did Natchez, the Natchez Trace, there were times when if you really had to go, you got off the bike and you went into the wilderness a little bit, and then you came back to your bike and you kept doing your thing.
Okay.
So one of the hard parts about this as a tandem team is you're only as good as your weakest rider that day. And you're going to have things like your gut just rebelling against you. And there are going to be days when one of you doesn't feel good or the other one, then it'll switch and the other one doesn't feel good. You're always as good as the weaker of the two of you.
I think we need to hear from Dawn.
We'll put Dawn on the spot. Here you go, sweetheart. Ladies and gentlemen, the one, the only, no. Dawn Wilkinson. No. Yes.
It's been a long couple years, but I'm very proud of everything he's done, and I will be very relieved when all this is over, but I worry a lot, but he's not had a wreck or anything yet, and I hope it stays that way. He is a go-getter, and he has done everything he said he was going to do, and I expect him to do this. So I can't worry. I just have to know that he's going to do it. I just think he will do it because he sets his mind to something, and he just goes for it, and that's just Dave. That's just what he does. So you just have to know that he's going to do it, because that's who he is. So if he says, I'm going to do this, you say, okay, and that you go with it. So that's it. That's who he is.
I envision every time that I ride that bike, I envision what it's going to be like to cross the finish line. I can hear that the song that I want at the end of it playing. I can hear my guide telling me that we're getting close. I can feel it. And I really believe that as much as the physical part of this is important, a lot of it is convincing yourself in your head, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this no matter what. I'm not unrealistic. I realize there's a chance that I may not, but I know that if I don't, it's going to be because of circumstances that are out of my control. Because anything that I can control, I'm going to fight my way through. One of the questions I was expecting to get that I didn't get, and that I'm not sure if I have a good answer for, that I'll ask myself, because I do talk to myself a lot, is why? And I'm not sure if I have an answer to that, other than I'm curious what the human body can do. I'm curious what the human spirit can will the human body to do. And part of me is always... You know how you all, anytime you do anything, some part of you, in the back of your head, you're thinking that people are looking at you and thinking, well, that's pretty good for like a blind guy or whatever. And I keep striving to find something where I can just say, okay, I did something where I competed on your plane. And as a result, the project just keeps getting bigger and bigger. So it's not necessarily the healthiest reason why, but I think that's, but a lot of it is just sort of that drive of let's see what's possible. And, I think we finally reached the outer limits of of absurdity and what I can put together. One more time, just to put it out there one more time, speedyturtle.net, fabulous prizes, lots of great merchandise. Keep up with us during the race. Thank you all for your support. I really appreciate the opportunity to be here. I'm going to hand the mic over to Carla, and you can get on with the rest of your lives. Thank you all very much.
If you have questions about the Kentucky Council of the Blind, or you need information on resources for people with vision loss, call us at 502-895-4598 or email us at kcb@kentucky-acb.org. Sound Prince is a production of the Kentucky Council of the Blind and is heard each week on ACB Radio Mainstream at acbradio.org, Central Kentucky Radio I at radioi.org, and the KCB website at www.kentucky-acb.org. Complete schedule information is also available on the website. Sound Prince is underwritten by the Louisville Downtown Lions Club and by the American Printing House for the Blind. This is Carla Rushable for Sound Prints. Have a great week, everybody.